Justin Wayne.
That is Project. That was the first track. It was went out Christmas Day on the 12 Songs of Christmas. The 12, 12 songs of 12 free songs of a Christmas. I said this earlier this week. I still haven't tallied the all the results that I got from who downloaded what. But we had a lot of downloads. I know I looked about halfway through and it was looking very promising. So thank you very much to those who participated in that. If you didn't get your 12 free songs, we're gonna give away one in a little while. But first, we must speak to Sam. We're first going to talk about what happened last week, which is Wild Card Weekend. For those of you who don't know how the NFL playoffs work, you have seeds. You play what is it? You play 16 games.
Yeah, 16 game season is right. Yep.
And then you play your 16 games, and then of course they seed you if you've won a bunch of games. Then you get a certain seed. And then if you're sort of like on the edge of being in the playoffs, and how many is there 8 playoff spots?
There's 6 in each conference, so there's a total of 12.
I see.
And 4 teams don't have to play the first weekend, and 8 teams did. So there was 4 games this last weekend.
Okay. So there's if you're going to get at math, you do a tournament, you have to have some sort of divisible of 4, right? So that's what the 4, 6 to 12, and then 4 is 16, I suppose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have your 16, 12, 16 teams.
No, there's 12 total teams, playoff teams.
But then you have the four that do the bye, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm in it. Right. Because I kind of understand how this works. Right. So this weekend was the four teams that were playing. Were they all wild card, or was one of them wild card? One of them was in.
There was in each conference. There's four teams. Yeah. There's two division winners and two wild cards that played this last weekend. And so the first game was the Seahawks and the Saints. The Saints were a wild card team, and the Seahawks won the Western Division of the NFC Conference.
But the Seahawks had like a losing record or something.
They were 7-9. It was kind of a big controversy because this is the first time that an entire division, every single team had a losing record.
That's insane.
And so through a series of tiebreakers, the Seahawks ended up winning the division at 7-9. And as a division winner in the first round, you automatically play the game at home.
So the losing record played a game at home.
At home against the New Orleans Saints, who are the defending Super Bowl champions.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
And the Seahawks ended up winning the game 41-36. In a shootout, and probably the most exciting game of the weekend. I know, Justin, you got to watch it.
We did, yeah. It was fantastic.
And so, yeah, it was a big surprise, the Saints being the Super Bowl champions and losing to a team that a lot of people thought had no business being in the playoffs. but clearly it's what makes the NFL an interesting playoff scenario is that it's one and done, and like they say, any given Sunday or Saturday in this case, any team can win, and that came out on Saturday with the Seahawks coming through.
It was a fantastic game. It was a sort of thought that because New Orleans came out front 10-0, and then
in the first quarter
was it 17-7 in the second quarter, and so you sort of thought, oh yeah, Saints got this in the bag, they're ahead early. And then Matt Hasselbeck just sort of pulled it out.
Yeah, he started going crazy there in the second half. And what ended up happening with the Saints this year is that their running backs were all injured for most of the year.
Okay.
And so the running back that was playing for most of the season is now out for the year, and they were on their third or fourth string running back by the time it came to the playoffs. And they just weren't able to get anything done on the ground. And so they weren't able to hold their lead, and the Seahawks came all the way back and ended up winning in the end with one of the best plays of the season, I know, and one of the greatest runs I've ever seen.
If you can go on YouTube and check this out.
Yeah, the running back Marshawn Lynch had at least a 60 or 65-yard touchdown where he broke the tackle.
He broke eight tackles. It was
just about every player on the Saints team. So it was pretty phenomenal if you get the chance to take a look.
And it was kind of inspiring as far as, because professional sports, sometimes you get like, you know, it's like punch card, day at the office, blah, blah, blah. But then you had like Matt Hasselbeck, you know, the highest paid guy on the field at the moment, is running up and trying to like throw himself in front of people, you know, trying to get in front of the runner. And it was really like a team effort. And sort of summed up the game, I think, because I think that that particular team was sort of felt like they were down and out and not very, you know, not feeling very good about the season. And then to see that, I think that's what pro sports are supposed to be. They're supposed to kind of be inspiring in some way.
Oh, and it was certainly exciting. It was good to see, because out of the four games this last weekend, that was the one that had the look of being, you know, maybe kind of a stinker, a little bit of a blowout. Right. And instead, you got the most exciting game of the weekend from the most unexpected place.
Yeah. What else do we have on Wild Card Weekend?
Well, the second game we're going to take a look at was the New York Jets and the Indianapolis Colts. A very exciting game. Ends up being 17-16 for the Jets on a last-second field goal, which you know, was not a really offensive game, which you would expect because the Jets have a very, very stout defense. Yeah. And they were able to hold Peyton Manning to one touchdown pass in the game, which happened fairly early in the second quarter. And after that, the Colts offense just couldn't get it done.
Mm. It's a shame to see Peyton Manning struggle. Because he didn't have to struggle for many years. Almost.
You know, he's a great quarterback, but his record in the playoffs actually isn't very good. I think he's got a losing record overall in the playoffs.
Interesting.
And he's only got one championship. So he's by the time it's all said and done, he's going to own just about every major passing record
Sure.
that there is. But I'll tell you the truth. His team is just not very good right now.
Sort of like Dan Marino was like that, wasn't he? Did Dan Marino never win a Super Bowl? Even the year they went like 15-1 or 16-0 or something, they still didn't win the Super Bowl in the end, did they?
Nope, no, they didn't. But when you know, the Colts had a similar story to the Saints this year in that you know, Peyton Manning's a great passer and he's done a lot with a relatively limited talent on his team.
True.
And this year, what really ended up happening in this game specifically is that they were able to move the ball, but once they got inside the 20-yard line and were close to scoring, they really had trouble getting the ball into the end zone. And this was a little bit of a product of losing Dallas Clark, who was one of the best tight ends in the league. Mm-hmm. He was done for the season about halfway through. And then one of Peyton Manning's favorite targets, a wide receiver named Austin Collie, mm-hmm. went out with concussions the last couple of weeks. So two of his best targets were out, and the Jets rolled the coverage over to his best wide receiver.
Sure.
And they just weren't able to get it done.
Especially when you're facing a really tough defense, it's not much you can do.
Yep, very tough defense.
And then once the field gets crunched down into that last, you know, 5 yards or something, they can really do a lot with a little, as far as defensive wise.
Yep,
and
yep.
And outside not of many the places to go,
outside of Peyton Manning's touchdown in the second quarter, they had 3 field goals, and that was it for the game.
Sure.
Ended up losing 17-16.
Well, we had the big men versus the small men, sort of, the quarterback that just quit at the end. that Kansas City game, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Baltimore-Kansas City game was that was the game we watched together here on Sunday, I think. And it was not a whole lot of fun after about the first half because Baltimore pretty well beat them from the get-go, I would say. Final score in that one was Baltimore 30 and Kansas City 7. And it was just a case where this game was in Kansas City. Kansas City is really known for having a great crowd and a really good home field advantage. But Baltimore's defense was just too physical. And they, you know, Matt Castle, who's been a very strong quarterback this year and for the last couple of years, ended up going 9 for 18 with 70 yards and 3 interceptions in the game, which left the Chiefs with almost no chance. I mean, outside of one run in the first quarter, that was it for their offense. I mean, 70 total yards passing. Dwayne Bowe, the best wide receiver on the Chiefs, didn't get a single target or a single catch the whole game. Mm-hmm. There's been some speculation that he was injured. And there was just no chance. Baltimore was just too good.
It kept seeming like that the Chiefs were going to try and do something, and like something was going to happen, and then they just kind of went, ugh.
Yeah, they just didn't have the ball in offense for long enough, and you know, no third down conversions. So, you know, they'd had a lot of like third and threes, third and fours, relatively achievable goals to be able to get, and they just didn't do it at all. Castle was terrible. The wide receivers didn't help them any.
Right.
And Baltimore just, they were hitting like crazy.
Tough. Well, the one that we almost decided was the Green Bay Philadelphia game sort of decided who we were going to play, because it was going to be, we're either going to play Philadelphia or we as in the Chicago Bears, because I'm a Chicago Bears fan. I am.
You should put that in quotations like you're doing with your hands.
I can't see that on
radio.
Fans
of this team, yeah.
No, I forget that not everyone in the entire world is a Chicago. For some reason, there aren't Chicago Bears fans all over.
Well, and the Bears have got Seattle, I think, this coming weekend, which is probably about as good of a matchup as they could have asked for coming through, because, like we were talking about, the Seahawks came through with a losing record this year. And
sure.
even with the win this last weekend, they still have got a losing record. And they're, two games from the Super Bowl?
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about the Green Bay game, and then we'll play a tune.
Highly exciting game. Green Bay and Philly, they've got probably two of the best quarterbacks going, with Michael Vick and Aaron Rodgers, and both of them ended up playing really pretty well in this game. I mean, Rodgers was 18 for 27, so a good percentage on his passing. Only 180 yards, but he did throw 3 touchdown passes. So he was highly effective. You know, not for a lot of yards, but he did well. And then Vick went 20 for 36 for 292 with a touchdown and... Jeez. An interception at the end of the game, which was really the clincher.
Oh, no.
So he played really well up till about 30 seconds left in the game, and then he threw a really ill-advised pass to end it.
That is a bummer.
Yep. But I mean, really, to me, the difference in this game was in the running games. Because out of the two teams, the Philadelphia Eagles definitely have the more talented running back. LeSean McCoy was a first-round pick a couple of years ago. He's been really strong. But the problem was that the Philadelphia Eagles' offensive line just couldn't handle the Packers' defense. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, LeSean McCoy got 12 carries for 46 yards. And then Green Bay, who's another team that's had tons of injury problems this year, they lost their starting running back at the start of the season. Their next two running backs have been ineffective all year. In this game, they started James Starks, who's a rookie. I don't even know if he was drafted, but no one's ever heard of him before.
Like, hey, this guy hanging out.
And he got 23 carries for 123 yards in this game and really helped the Packers control the clock and made it so they didn't need to pass for everything. And they just ended up grinding it out. The more physical and the more aggressive team certainly won this game.
Yeah, well, Aaron Rodgers just brought the mail carrier or something. Said, hey, you want to play? We don't have a running back.
Just grab somebody off the street. Yeah.
The checker at the service station on the way in. We really need someone to do some running. Can you do that?
Well, yeah, and that's happened before. I don't know if you remember Kurt Warner, who was the Super Bowl winning quarterback when he was with the Arizona Cardinals, was stocking groceries in a grocery store and playing in the CFL before he got his call to the NFL. Right. So it does happen.
There you go. Well, the Vikings they're not going to do it, are they? But they were talking about bringing back Donovan McNabb from the European Football League. Is he in the Canadian football? He's somewhere else.
Donovan McNabb was playing for the Washington Redskins this last year.
Oh, sorry. No, Donovan McNabb. I'm thinking of Dante Colbert.
Oh, Dante.
Thanks, sweetheart. Sometimes. Why do I? Yeah, I don't know. I enjoy it. I just, that's why I have you here, because sometimes I try a little too hard.
The Vikings are going to need to bring in some sort of quarterback, because the rookie we had this year, Webb, was just, he's good, he's an exciting player, but I just can't see him being the starting quarterback on a serious contender in the NFL.
Another year of development, maybe. Maybe we'll... Oh, Jamie says, is assuming the Vikings. Yeah, we don't. Jamie doesn't like the Vikings. We're going to get back into. We're going to play a tune from the 12 Songs of Christmas. Then we're going to give a download away for you. You can pick. You can go on thejustinwayneshow.com/12daysofchristmas and see all the songs and then pick one. And I will give it to you. So if you're in the chat room or if you're on email, we'll do one for each. So justin@rechargeradio.com. So write that down. We'll tell you how to do that in just a minute. Right now, this one was number 3, the third day of Christmas. What is that? 3 pipers piping. Oh, no. That's something. What is it? 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds. There's French hens. So this is 3 French hens. That's the Unquiet Nights. Fantastic band. This is We Were the Ones. It's the Justin Wayne Show on Recharge Radio. Now I'm going. That's the dupes. That goes out to Rodrigo de Sá, who sent those to us for the 12 songs of Christmas. And right now, if you're in the chat room and you want one, once again, say what you got for Christmas if you want one of those 12 songs of Christmas, and we'll hook you up with the download right now. Also, if you are listening to the podcast, email me, justin@rechargeradio.com. We'll set you up as well. I will do one winner from both places. And continue on with the show. One thing I need to say before we get back to Sam, who is sitting here waiting for me to look his direction. I won't. In a minute. We have the Tour Dates Musicians Clinic is on Monday, which is something that I emcee, and or what do they say, compare, as they would say, or perhaps chair. But it's a meeting of independent musicians and the music industry in Camden here in London. So if you are anywhere near London, we've got submissions. The night is going on, which we're really excited about. We actually got quite a few submissions this last week, but there are still a few slots available. So if you are near London, you're in a band, you want to play your demo for some industry professionals, head on over to tourdates.co.uk/musicians-clinic and sign up, which then comes this direction, and then we'll sort you out with what you need to do to get there. But it is in Camden. It's on Monday. It's at 6:30 p.m. So if you're free Monday, 6:30, have a demo you want to hear, head over to tourdates.co.uk/musicians-clinic, and I will sort you out. And I know that Jared is listening in the background. Jared is the head of Tour Dates, who is the man. So thank you to Jared for sorting all that out for us. And if you're coming on Monday, I will see you there. I will see you. Be there, be square. Right. Back to we've talked about Wild Card Weekend in the NFL football. We're going to talk now about what's going to be happening this coming weekend, next weekend, and of course leading up to the Super Bowl, which is February 6th?
6th or 7th,
I think. Did I make that up? That starts at like 11 or something here.
The Sunday, yeah.
I've already sort of laid the groundwork for coming in late on Monday morning. I've already said, Super Bowl, we're having a party. Boss, you're my favorite boss ever. Might not be there right away on Monday. Might knock over my microphone stand as well. Right. So what is we know who won, we know who lost. Less importantly, what do we got coming up for this weekend as far as the NFL? When are the games? What's going on? What are your predictions? Or what have you got written down there on your sheet?
Saturday and Sunday, and this is shaping up to be a really exciting playoff weekend coming up. Saturday, we're going to start off with the Baltimore and Pittsburgh showdown.
They're going to bash it out, aren't they?
Oh, man. This is the divisional round for a game this early in the playoffs. These are two teams that play in the same division, that play each other twice every year. So they know each other's teams really well. And, we always like to see that there's no love lost between these two teams, to be really, really cliched. So these are probably the two most physical teams in the NFL, with two defenses that are both experienced and highly aggressive. Mm. And so it's going to be a brutal game. Really excited for it. I would expect neither team to be able to run the ball very effectively with the type of defenses that are going to be played. So it's really going to come down to a battle of two quarterbacks, both relatively still young. Ben Roethlisberger, who's already got, I think, two Super Bowls to his name, if I remember right. And
he's doing pretty well for himself over there in Pittsburgh.
He's done well. He's on a pace to be... It's surprising when you think about it, because he doesn't look like the quarterback that you expect to be as effective as he is, but he's one of those guys that just always seems to win the game when it counts. And he'll be going up against Joe Flacco, who's been around in Baltimore now for a couple of years.
With his tin little legs, man.
Oh, man, he just looks like a chicken head running around. But he's a good but not great quarterback, and that's what I see this game really coming down to, is the fact that Roethlisberger's been through all of this before, and I would expect him to pull it out. I mean, his offensive line this year has really not been very good, so they should probably have trouble running the ball, and he might be running for his life from the Ravens defensive line this weekend, but I would expect him to get it done, and I think Pittsburgh probably wins by a field goal.
All right.
The other game on Saturday is going to be the Green Bay Packers, the team that everybody loves to hate, and the Atlanta Falcons. With Green Bay right now probably being as popular of a team to pick and a team playing as well as any team going, with a really strong quarterback. And Atlanta, who had a fantastic year and ended up being the number one seed in the NFC and not having to play last weekend, not really being the popular pick to come through this game right now.
Interesting.
So it should be interesting. What's on the surface, it looks like the Packers have the edge at quarterback with Aaron Rodgers being one of the top three or four best quarterbacks in the league right now and how well he played this last weekend. But Matt Ryan was the number one pick for the Atlanta Falcons, and he's lost maybe two games at home for his entire career. And this game is going to be played in Atlanta. So there is some advantage there to be said for the Falcons. This is another game that should be really, really close.
And they've had lots of rest with their bye week and all that
bye week,
sort of stuff.
They've also been remarkably healthy for a team this year. They're not really missing any of their major players. They haven't had any losses go down. And especially in the modern NFL, it really seems like every single team is losing players to concussions left and right. I mean, you know, currently right now there's quite a lot of worry among football fans that there's not going to be a football season next year because of the labor situation, and there's a potential to be an owner's lockout of the players if they don't agree to a new contract by, I think it's sometime in March. And one of the sticking points is that the owners really want to expand the season from a 16-game season that they currently have to 18 games starting next year. And it's just hard to even think about because so many players are already injured over the course of the season, and teams are just running on, you know, third and fourth string guys.
The Brits, you know, give the NFL crap about playing with loads of pads because obviously rugby, they don't play with any pads, and they get the crap kicked out of them sort of the same way. But I feel, I mean, and I think that a rugby player told me this. He says he has all the respect in the world for the NFL because, I mean, they go and they, you know, hit each other. They hit each other hard, and then they stop, take a breather, and then they hit each other hard again. Whereas in rugby, there's sort of a flow to it, and it's not so like, I mean, obviously there is lots of hard hitting and stuff in rugby. But,
well, part of the problem is that when you're wearing all of these pads and you're wearing the helmet, it creates a sense of invincibility in the guys that play the game where, I mean, if you're not wearing a helmet, you're never going to launch into a guy with your head.
No.
You know, it just, you know, there's a self-preservation there when you're playing a game like rugby where, you know that you're mortal a little bit. I mean, it's still really hard guys playing that game. But in football, there's a sense of security that may not be really valid because of that equipment that's there.
Yeah.
Anyway, we were talking about the Green Bay and the Green Bay versus Atlanta game.
They have a rule now in the NFL. You can't hit someone straight on with your helmet. Or you can't hit helmet to helmet, can you?
No.
I mean, you would never, maybe you would in rugby sometimes, but generally in rugby, you wouldn't find people hitting each other head to head, literally.
Well, and part of the problem is that I think very rarely do guys actually try to hit like that, but one guy's going in full speed and he's gonna take a dive at the guy, and things change. I mean, it's just one of those things where when you're going full speed as an athlete like that, you're not always going to have perfect control over what the end result of that collision is going to be.
You're not going to have control over yourself running and flying in this
flying into another guy. Yeah, so I mean, if they go to an 18-game season, there's really going to be some attrition that happens over the course of the year. And I'll be surprised to see if the players' union agrees to that type of a deal. But
oh gosh, if they have to do that, the owners are going to have to buy more players, aren't they? They're going to have to expand their rosters or something.
Yeah, and I mean, does that mean that the salaries for the existing players go up? Because yeah, the way that it gets broken down is that their yearly salary gets broken up into game checks.
Yeah.
And they get a check every week after the game. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that the game checks are now smaller for each of the, you know, games over an 18-game season than they are over 16? I'm not a lawyer. I have no idea really what's going to happen, but I'll be curious to see how that comes out.
Yeah. Well, what were we talking about? What game were we talking about?
Green Bay and Atlanta. Green Bay and Atlanta. Yeah. Green Bay's defense has been playing fantastic. They've really got some guys on that team that have become some of the most exciting defensive players in the league. As much as I hate to say it, Clay Matthews Jr. is fantastic. And I'll be surprised. Atlanta, you know, is known as a team with a really strong running game, but actually on first and second downs, the downs in the NFL where you're a lot more likely to run, they're one of the lowest ranked teams in their average game.
Interesting.
On the ground. So if Green Bay is able to shut down Michael Turner, the running back for the Falcons, and force Atlanta to be one-dimensional, I don't really see Atlanta being able to pull it off. It's going to be a tight game. I do see Green Bay coming through in the end and very likely setting up a match with Chicago in the NFC Championship.
Which we know very, very recently, Green Bay dealt a very hearty, wicked blow to Chicago.
Yeah,
they did. Last game of the season. So it'd be interesting to see that rematch happen so soon.
Mm-hmm. But do you want to go on to the Sunday games, or you can play some music?
That's a good idea. Yeah, let's do that. So let's see who we. I was gonna do that. Yeah. So let's play another one of the 12 songs of Christmas. Still open if you were interested in getting one of these for yourself. Do let us know, justinrechargeradio.com, or just type something into the into the chat room. Right now, this was number six, the sixth song from what is that? Six? I don't even know what number six is. I can't think past five golden rings. It's hard. But anyway, this is Robert Batley, and Inglefields is the band name. This is Christmas. Christmas comes once a year, so we'll do a Christmas song after Christmas, but it's Robert Batley, so it's okay. It's the Justin Wayne Show. We'll be back in a minute.
a giant wow.
And you're listening to The Justin Wayne Show.
Giving away the end of the show there. Whoops. Sorry. We have a little bit more to go before the end of the show. Sam is still here, and we have a few more minutes just to talk about the rest of the games on Sunday. Of course, if you're interested in seeing those other two games on Saturday, if you're in the UK, they're on Sky Sports 2, which I figured out and purchased online. I think it cost me like £25. Not an advert for Sky Sports 2, but if you want to watch the American football, it's certainly there for you. 4:30 p.m. In the States, which is 9:30 here in London, is Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and then a little bit later on in the evening, which is about 1 o'clock, starting in the morning, right? 9, 10, 11, 12. I'm counting on my fingers. Is Green Bay and Atlanta on Saturday, and then Sunday. We'll have Sam tell us about Sunday's games. I'll make sure I give you the times before we head off into the night and part the waves for Rodrigo de Sá and the Island Music Show. But yes, Sam, what does Sunday have in store for us?
Sunday afternoon. Well, we're first game that I'm looking at here is the Seattle Seahawks, the team with still a losing record, going to go play the Chicago Bears.
That's right, the big Bears game
in Chicago, which I know you're excited for.
Bears.
I'll probably let you talk about
the Bears. The Bears. I've always wanted to do that on the radio.
Oh, it's about time.
Never had a reason for it. There you go.
So Seattle at Chicago Sunday afternoon, and you got to be feeling good about this game. With even though Seattle played really well this last weekend, they've got to go do it now outside. In the windy city,
it's
in
true.
The cold,
they have to come over. But it was really cold in because when they played in Seattle, like you said, Seattle played at home. Seattle, for those of you who don't know your U.S. geography, is northwest, and it is also very cold. Well, it's not always really snowy, but it's always really cold because you got all that wind blowing off of the Pacific Ocean in the winter time, and it is northern, very near like Vancouver, Canada, and sort those sorts of places. So very cold, and it was very cold. You see how Matt Hasselbeck had his bald head wrapped up in a hat every time he was off the field. And who is, yeah. So they're coming over to the Windy City, like you said, and it's still, which is going to be even colder.
Yeah.
And even windier than it was in Seattle. So it will be interesting.
Yeah. And the Bears defense this year is, has gotten stronger as it's gone along. And they've shut down some good teams. I know they did a number on the Vikings, with our backup quarterback here a couple of weeks ago, but it looks to me really good for Chicago to get through this game. Especially Seattle has really got to just hope to be able to run the ball with Marshawn Lynch like they did last week and be able to keep the game close to the end. Because the Bears, unless Cutler, the quarterback, decides to do what he's done in the past, which is turn the ball over, I think Chicago's got a good chance to come through. But that's, to me, probably the least exciting game on Sunday, because coming up after that, you've got the New York Jets at the New England Patriots.
The New York versus the... Well, New England isn't really New York. It's sort of like Massachusetts, but it is sort of New York, isn't it? Very, very close.
Definitely East Coast. And for the last half of the season, the Patriots have been far and away the best team in the NFL.
Right.
And I don't think you'll find very many people that would argue anything else. Tom Brady's been playing phenomenal. I don't actually have the stat here, but I think he's got 27 or 28 touchdowns and like two interceptions on the year. So he will not turn the ball over. And what's really interesting about this game to me is actually the matchup of the coaches as much as it is about the players, because the most influential and the most successful coach in the NFL for the last decade has been Bill Belichick for the New England Patriots. And this is a game where the New York Jets have been in the media for the last week talking about the Patriots. And they've been giving them billboard material. They've been talking about how much they hate Tom Brady. The last time these two team played was December 6th, and New England won 45-3.
Okay.
So, royal beatdown in New England, and the game's in New England again. And so the Jets have got to overcome that. I mean, they've got to believe that they can win this game for there to be any chance. And I actually see this getting out of hand a little bit early. I think that Brady will probably pick them apart pretty well. And I see New England certainly coming through this game and probably playing in the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers next weekend, which will be another classic.
Yeah, we were talking about that New York Jets defense. You don't think that'll have any effect on Tom Brady and his wizardry and his long hair?
It will, but the Jets, the strongest part of their defense is they've got two really, really good cornerbacks, probably the best in the league in Jarrell Revis, who will play the number one wide receiver for the Patriots or possibly cover Wes Welker out of the slot. But the thing about Brady is that he just gets rid of the ball so quickly, and he's so good at reading the defenses that it almost doesn't really matter if they blitz him or if they try to play coverage, because he always gets the ball out of his hand at the right time. And it really is going to come down to the coaching for me, because Belichick has kept his guys from saying anything to the media, from getting involved in this back and forth with the Jets. And the Jets are kind of psyching themselves out. I think that they're making such a big deal out of this game in their own heads that they're not going to be able to live up for the hole that they're digging themselves.
Well, I suppose it gets really depressing when you've said all this, you know, throwing all this rubbish out. Oh, yeah, we're going to be awesome. And then it's 10-0, and you're like, oh, I guess we're not going to be that awesome.
It could get bad early. It seems like the Jets are a little bit of front runners. When they're playing teams that are not as good as they are, they do quite well on defense, and they can shut a team down. Mm. But as soon as they face a little bit of adversity, I think, as soon as they've got a young quarterback that I'm not sure is going to be able to move the ball against the Patriots defense, and if a couple things go wrong, this game could get ugly. Mm. And And Belichick won't stop. He's not going to take his foot off the accelerator to give the Jets a chance to get back in the game if that does happen.
No, I wouldn't think you wouldn't want to do that. Not when you're driving to the playoffs to continue your metaphor.
Yep.
Well, that's the later game on Sunday. It is the later game. Sorry. So it's 6 p.m. here in the UK or 1 p.m. Eastern time. Is Seattle and Chicago, which is what I will be watching. And then if you want to hang around a little bit longer or switch channels, or I'm not sure where that will be shown over here or if it will be shown over here. But, of course, at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, which is about 9:30 p.m. here, is the New York Jets and the New England Patriots. Right. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, it was fun.
Did I cut you off? Are you going to say something else? Did you have something more insightful bit to say?
I think we've pretty much covered it. I know I'm excited for this weekend.
The kebab was gurgling in your stomach.
It might have been. Yeah. Oh, the beast.
No, it's going to be a fun weekend. So, if you're on Twitter or on Facebook, you'll probably see a couple of twits and Facebooks. Is there a...
Facebooks.
Apparently you're not supposed to say Facebooking anymore. I'm not going to Facebook you. Facebook as a verb is gone. No more.
Didn't know that.
Because it's dumb. Who says that? Stupid kids. Right. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. I will see you on Monday if you're coming to the Musicians Clinic. If you're not yet and you want to, tourdates.co.uk/musicians-clinic. Also, justinrechargeradio.com is me. The JustinWayneShow.com is where you can get this podcast from. You can also get it there. Everything else at Recharge Radio, rechargeradio.com. Thank you very much for listening. We have one more song for you. This was the fourth song from the... from the 12 Songs of Christmas, which was five golden rings, four calling birds. This is The Scratch, our favorites here at Recharge Radio. This is Urtromaniac. This is The Justin Wayne Show. Island Music is up next with Rodrigo de Sá, The Island Music Show.
Music.